Folks, you can be seated. Just give me just a minute here as we open up. Good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. We see about half of them took the evening off. How many of y'all got a nap this evening? Yeah, look at that. What a blessing. Sorry about you guys that didn't get one. It was blessed. It was good. I don't mean this in any other way than what it is. I kind of like the empty nest thing. She come in there. I was watching an episode of Forensic Files, and next thing I know, we're asleep on the couch together and woke up. And I couldn't feel the left side of my body because she was laying on this arm, and it was, I'll come out of there going like this. I said, I really like this. I love it. It's good. Pray for the youngins that are out at the Outer Banks, and they're already being stalked by the Phillips family, so we have to get after Jody and Jamie. We're down here breaking down some stuff at the Life Center and start getting text pictures. And who is it? It's Jamie Phillips, and they've done spotted Macy and Jake's car. And next thing I know, they're stalking them. So anyway, just pray for our children that they can go further out in the ocean or somewhere. I don't know how much further you can go than that, but Jody's got a kayak with him, so they'll probably go out there wherever they go. But it's good to be here tonight, good to be saved. And thank you again, every one of you that had a hand in making the wedding just spectacular. The bride was beautiful. It's just the service was beautiful. Everything about it was just a blessing, and it was done God's way. I'm glad that you're still young people saving themselves the way that God intended it. I'm serious, the way that God designed it and purposed it. I want to read a verse of scripture, a couple of verses of scripture found in the book of Psalms as we open up tonight. Psalm chapter number 1. Am I on? I'm on. I got you. You got me. I'll stand right here because I got Brother Anthony's got the microphone tonight. But a thought came to my mind yesterday, and I put it something like this. It might not be a direct quote, but we gave her roots that she could grow, and then we've given her wings that she can fly. And I got to thinking about that, and that's true. We gave her roots. You were a part of that. I mentioned it this morning in a testimony that you helped to shape her and Jake, because she was just an 11-year-old girl when we came here as your pastor. And y'all had a hand in the Bible school teaching and the Sunday school teaching. You've helped to mold our children into these young adults that they are now married and living their lives as a married couple. And then whenever I said that we've given her roots that she could grow, and now we've given her wings that she can fly. My friends, we can back that up all day long with Scripture. The Bible says in this first chapter, and you don't have to stand. I will do that whenever the preacher gets up here to bring the Word of God to us just a little bit. But I want you to hear this. The Bible said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and And in his law doeth he meditate day and night." And listen at verse number 3 and 4. "He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way that the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I just read that whole one. I want them to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that them roots that we gave them so long ago would go down even deeper and grow richer, that they could, where'd you go, honey? Brianna. Ben, I know absent the pianist and absent everything, y'all did amazing tonight. You did amazing, and thank God. Miss Debbie, thank you, y'all. That's what Calvary is. It's just everybody doing and being what they should be in this thing. But I got to thinking about that, about the roots. Give your kids roots. Don't just send them to church. Take them to church. Go with them. We've got a thing coming up. It's Saturday, week from last night. It's a youth bonfire. It's not just for the youth, but there'll be some s'mores and there'll be hot dogs. And greater than that, the Word of God is going to be preached by Brother Joe Knight there. And you're welcome to come. That goes for you, Brother Morgan. If you want to come, bring your kids. We'll be right behind the Family Life Center. We'll have a fire pit back there. And We'll be back there. We'll be some preaching and eating and just enjoying each other's company. That's 1 week from last night. And don't forget that this coming Friday, they're pre-selling plates if you want to get a hold of Miss Jean or somebody. But there's going to be a pinto bean supper at the Life Center. And all the money that's donated or raised will go to the Healing Hearts Ministry. So just remember that. And then you've got a bulletin with the other announcement. Come on, Brother Anthony. We've got Brother Anthony Morgan out of Maple Springs Baptist Church getting ready to preach for us. Come on up here, preacher. Just give him your attention as you would your pastor. And I've already given him these words. He'll follow it up. Don't hold back or
you won't be back.
You won't be back.
That's right.
Leave nothing on the table, brother. Just share with us what God's got.
God bless you. Thank you, sir. Good evening, church. Amen. Good to be here tonight. I'm thankful for any opportunity to stand and share the word of God. And I appreciate you, pastor, entrusting us and calling us and asking us to come and to be with you this evening. And if I wouldn't say I wasn't nervous, I'd be lying at you, all right? I appreciate the privilege to stand and to be with you tonight. I know one person in this whole place tonight halfway well, and that's about it. And other than my youngins, it's with me. It's right back there if you don't know. But we are glad to be with you tonight. My wife is sick. She got up sick this morning, had to go to the clinic. And so part of me is laying back at the house tonight, and I don't like going to church without her, amen, and especially going to preach. And so I left her, and this is how I left her, Brother Mark. I left her crying. And she said, honey, I'll be praying for you right here, and it breaks my heart that I can't be with you tonight. And she said, but know this, I'll be praying for you. I thank God for a godly wife, amen. I thank God for good helpmate, and I appreciate what God has done and helping us along this way, but I appreciate the privilege. Thank you so much. Everybody around here just been so nice and kind. I'm sure somebody's not that way. I just ain't met you yet, but everybody has been really nice and welcoming to our family and to my youngins, and I greatly appreciate that. You have your Bibles already there to Psalm 1. Flip over a page to Psalm 4 tonight. I want to share with you what God stuck in my heart for this evening. I'll do my best, amen, to relay it to you. And I'll get out of the way. We just won't let God drive this thing. Let him do what he wants to do tonight. Amen. It'll be right and it'll be good. And amen. We'll walk out here saying, my, what a God we serve. Amen. We ought to have said that when we walked in here. You know that? But sometimes, amen, it's just not that way. Let's just be honest about it. Amen. But when we leave tonight, I pray we can say that tonight. Amen. God showed up and God surely helped us. Psalm chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. If you're able, stand with us tonight. We'll read this whole chapter, just 8 verses here. And amen, we'll have a word of prayer and then you can be seated. The word of God says this in Psalm chapter number 4. It says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? And then that word Selah, think about it, ponder on that. Verse number 3, he says, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. And the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord God, have we blessed your good and holy name. God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. God, I thank you, Lord, that I got to see one born into the family this morning. God, I come tonight, Lord, with no less expectation, God, and then you to work a miracle among us tonight. God, I pray that you'd strengthen us and help us, God, to be your servant tonight. God, I pray that you'd fill our mouth with your word. God, stir among us tonight. May your spirit have freeness to move, amen, among us this evening. God, how I love you, and I thank you for loving me first. God, do it tonight, oh God. We need you, oh Father. Move, oh Lord, how you see fit. Be with my wife tonight, God, in my absence. Take care of her and restore to her health, I pray, in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Looking here at the Word of God, there's one verse that really stands out to what God is instructed for our time here tonight. And it's found there in verse number 4. The Bible says it like this, that we ought to stand in awe. Friend, tonight, as I look up the word awe, I want to know what I'm talking about, amen, when I preach. And so I get out dictionaries and help. Amen. When I need them. As I look up the word all tonight, it says this, to have a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. Tonight, friend, I tell you that if we ought to have a fear and a respect and a wonder of anything or of anybody, it ought to be Almighty God tonight. Amen. He tells us tonight that we ought to stand in awe, amen, of who he is, of his presence. So many times, friend, amen, we find ourselves saying, I want to thank God for what he's done. Can I take it a step further? If you don't do anything, can I just thank him for being God? Amen. For not pulling us out, for not giving up on us. Praise his name. He's God on the throne. And sin not. Oh, friend, tonight, he tells us, if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have to stand in awe of him. Amen. If you're going to serve him right, you better stand in awe of him. Hey, Sunday school teachers, if you're going to teach them right, you better stand in awe. Hey, Daddy, if you're going to lead you home right, you better stand in awe of God. Hey, Pastor, if you're going to preach it right, we got to stand in awe in that of God. We must stand in awe of him. He says there in verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You realize tonight, amen, the Bible tells us clearly that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Let me pose this question to you tonight. God put this in my heart, amen, a couple of years back. If my unrighteousness, if my sin, amen, amen, if it's filthy rags in his sight, amen, if it's my goodness, and my righteousness, the good things I can do, what in the world does my sin look like before him? If filthy rags is what my goodness is, then my word, what does my sin look like before holy God tonight? The psalmist says, you're my righteousness. Everything I am that's good, it's wrapped up in you. Amen. Amen, preacher. Jump in here with me anytime you want to. It'll be amen to help. Amen. Here tonight, I'm glad that he is our righteousness. He says, you've enlarged me when I was in distress. You realize tonight what he's saying, that word distress means to be put in a corner. Amen. All by yourself. He said, listen, but when I felt like I was all alone, put in a corner. God, you got in a corner with me. And you made it a big place. No longer was it a little corner. But it was a large place. And I was with you. Thank God, amen. I'm glad for when he gets in the corner. Amen. I'm glad, friend, when you're in the right spot. Amen. It may feel like you're in a corner, but with you and God in the corner, it's the right place to be. Amen. He says, oh, you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Lies and deceit, that's what that leasing is. But know that the Lord has set apart him that's godly for himself. I'm glad that I can stand before you tonight. And it's not because anybody I'm great of. It's not because of who my parents are. It's because there's a calling on my life. God has set us apart for a calling. And I thank God I just get to join in and do something. Amen. In the service of my King tonight. And then he go on, the Lord will hear me when I call unto him, stand in awe and sin not. Here's what I want to share with you tonight. I'm going to do my best to preach quick, Brother Mark, and I'll get out of the way. Amen. But look at verse number 4, standing in awe. Here's what I want to preach to you tonight, God being our helper. What happens when our awe is right? When our awe is set right, what happens in the life of a child of God? Amen. I believe we've lost that awe. I believe we've like, you said, preacher, here we are on Sunday night, good crowd on Sunday night. Amen. Here we are, preacher. We showed up. We're here to hear the word of God. I bless his name, amen, that you're here. It does not mean you stand in awe of God. It doesn't mean you respect him like you should. It doesn't mean that you wonder at his presence. It doesn't mean, amen, that you fear failing God tonight. So what happens when our awe is right? Number one, we find there in verse number 4, stand in awe and sin not. What happens when our awe is right? We'll see a difference in our sin. Yes, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, let me read a couple of verses to you, and then I want to jump into what I mean by we'll see a difference in our sin. Hang with me here for just a little bit, all right? 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1 through 3, the Bible says this, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Right. Can I say this? That's still in our Bible.
Yes, sir.
That's still in our Bible. That you sin not. Now here's what we jump into. I'm going to get ahead of myself just a little bit. Now here's what we jump into. Well, I'm just flesh and everybody fails. And if that's all that I come up short on, and it's not, you're lying to yourself. It's not one area in your life. Anyway, if that's all that it, God knows I'm just flesh. And I tell you what, friend, we excuse away our sin before God. And I'll tell you why. Because we're not in awe. If we get in awe of him, those excuses and those reasons that we give, they'll go by the wayside. But the Bible tells us, he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. That ought to be the goal, amen? Shouldn't it?
Yes,
talk to me here. That ought to be the goal, that we sin not. Now, are we sinless creatures? No, sir. No, ma'am. But that ought to be what we're trying to obtain with our life. Is that, hey, listen, I've heard it said like this, when we're born again, it doesn't make us sinless, but it makes us sin less.
Come on.
Well, to sin less, amen? There ought to be something different in the life of a child of God, because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, it tells us, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So if we're a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be a difference in our lives today. Look what he says, though. Here's what I like, this little word right here. This little conjunction that jumps in right in the middle of the... He says, and if any man sin... Praise God for right here. We ought to all just shout right here. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God. Ain't you glad you got to go between? Ain't you glad you got one that is sinless? Amen. That stands on our account. Amen. That pleads and intercedes on our behalf. Praise God. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, for righteousness, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He satisfies God for our sin. Hallelujah. And he says, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Ain't you glad there ain't no limit on the grace of God? Amen. That's what I preached on this morning. There's grace enough for that. Amen. Where he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm glad there's enough grace, amen, to save the world if we'll just believe.
Yes, sir.
He says, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments.
On,
when we're in awe of God, we'll stop testing to see where the line is. Here's where we're at today. Listen to me, youngins. Here's where we're at today. Used to,
Amen. When we first born again. Amen. We see sin and stay away from it. We knew that wasn't what we needed to be. That we should be involved in that. We should say that. We should look upon that. We should go there. But amen. Can I tell you where we are today? Amen. Here's the line. How close should I get to that line and not be wrong?
Come on, preacher. Listen.
When we're in awe of God, we want to be totally alive and trying to see how close we can get before God's labeled it as sin. When I tell you, we'll say that is a lie. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't need to have nothing to do with it. I'm in awe of God. When God gets bigger than that little sin, we're going to play around with it and test the waters up. Can I tell you something? If you told that lie long enough, friend, you'll cross that line. You'll throw one leg over that line. Before you know it, all of it is over there. But when we get in awe of God, see, it ain't about how close can I make it. How close can I get it without being, ostracized and sin. How close can I get there without that? Oh, it ought to be in the heart and the life of a child of God to say, God, help me to stay as far away from sin as I possibly can. When we're on all of God, we'll stop testing to see where that line's at. The Bible tells us clearly right here, He told us to keep His commandments. Not hit one here and there along the way. Hey, I got that one. I got that one down. I got that. Hey, man, I got that one today. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, He says we ought to keep them. It ought to be the pattern in our life.
Sir.
It ought to be more of a pattern that we are not sinning than a pattern that we are sinning.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
If our all is rightly placed, then this won't be the issue. Can I say this? When our awe of God, when we look to God and we say, Lord God, You sure are awesome. You sure are great. You sure are almighty. You sure are all that I need.
Yes, sir.
And when we're standing in awe like that, when we realize that He's God and we're not, it makes it hard to sin.
Come on.
What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, when we're looking at Him and we're realizing how big He is and how great He is and how right that He is, it makes it hard to be in bed with somebody, not your spouse.
Come on, brother.
It makes it hard not to be slandering somebody. It makes it hard not to be running your mouth and gossiping here and there and doing that. When you're standing all God, you're not messing with those things.
Come on, brother.
So we see tonight, if we get our all right, it'll make a difference in our sin. We'll view it differently. We'll view it differently. A lot of times we'll have the man of God and he'll say, he'll just be preaching the word of God, just preaching the Bible. This is what God's word says.
Come on.
We look on him and say, how dare you say that to me?
Come on.
What you need to understand is it is not a man saying it to you. It is Holy God saying it to us.
Come on.
And so, friend, it's not just let's do it right in front of the preacher or let's do it right in front of the church crowd. Huh? And wait, hey, you get quiet on me again now. Hey, listen, friend. We all know how to act church. Right?
Yeah,
right. Yes, preacher. That's right. Say amen. Amen, son.
Yes,
we all know what it is to act like we're just the most godless thing that ever walked the planet. My daddy pastor. I've never known my daddy be anything but a pastor. And I played that game, amen, until I was 13 years old. Amen. Everybody thought I saved. They didn't thought I saved. I was a preacher's kid, so apparently we all naturally are saved. You know, just from birth or so, I don't know. But everybody just assumed the preacher's boy was saved. Amen. I'm telling you what, I'd get to church, and I'd sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And I didn't even know who he was. Amen. I'd get in, I'd teach Sunday school. Amen. I'd sit down and be there for every service. But I didn't yet know who he was. But man, I had to act now.
Come on, preacher.
But then there was one day, 13 years old, 5 rows back on the left-hand side, in a little old country church, amen, over on the edge of Seymour. I get excited. That's mine.
Come on, brother.
I get excited about it. On the edge anymore. A little old church been standing there a little over 100 years, and the Holy Ghost stung my wing. Amen. He blew me under the Father. Amen. And may I step down? The altar was full. Thank you, God. Make it real right here. The altar was full. And so I slid in at the first pew on this side of the church. I'd take you them that far. But where, amen, it all happened. It's out there. I don't know what I said. I can't repeat the word. But I know I needed him. And I know he took me.
Amen. That's good, brother.
And then it was this deal of I've got to look for the part.
Come on, brother.
And I got to sound the part. It just kind of started happening.
Amen.
I was born again.
Amen.
Hey.
Yes.
I was a new person.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I wasn't that same old sinner. And I had been. I didn't have to try to dress it up no more. Thank God he stripped me of who I was. Yes, Lord. He stripped me of who I was. And he called me in his righteousness. Thank God today. And it's all because of him.
Yes.
We need to stand in whole in that of God.
Sir.
Look what he says. To stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Communing with yourself. You ever done this? You ever talked to yourself?
Yeah.
I do. I ain't got no lies to tell. Here's what he's saying. I'm communing on my own bed. And I'm just being still. And I'm telling God some stuff. What's he saying? What's he communing about? Here's what I'm thinking he's saying. God, you sure are good. The more I think about you, the more I realize just how great you are. Maybe he's communing and asking himself, isn't God worth living for? God, ain't you worth living for? Didn't God say in his way, maybe he's going through a trial, maybe he's laying there communing. Didn't God say that he'd do it?
Come on.
Didn't God do it already?
Yes, sir.
He's just having a good conversation. It's like he's floated out of himself and he's having a conversation. Amen. Pumping himself up on who his God is. I think that's all right tonight.
Right.
We'll stand in awe when we look at him, right? When we look at him right tonight, when we realize who he is and what he's done, it'll bring us to the right place where we're in awe of him. Them youngins sung it just right there. For all he's done,
oh,
I'm going to lift my hands and praise him.
Amen.
For all he's done, for all he's done. Give me a next line. Try to live my life to please him. Oh, really? Here's the kind of stuff you'll commune with. Thank you, Jesus. You'll commune with on your bed. Even though I don't deserve you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Man.
Even though I don't deserve you, Lord.
You sent your only son for me.
Lord's sake. Amen.
And I just can't help it. But to praise the Lord.
Amen.
For all that he's done.
Hey,
that's a fitting song for tonight.
Amen.
Amen. For all he's done. And can I say this? For all that he is.
Amen.
We'll lift our hands and praise.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. Number two, I got to move. In verse number four, we see that if we'll stand in awe, we'll see a difference in our sin. Verse number five, the Bible tells us this. He says, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. What happens when our all's right? We'll see a difference in our sin. And then here in verse number five, we'll see that we'll have confidence to trust him.
Amen.
We'll have confidence to trust him. Look what he says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord.
Amen.
In him alone. I mean, throw it all in there. Amen. God, you can. And God, you should.
Amen.
God, I know that you can. And I believe that you will.
Yes.
Trust the Lord with all that we are. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and most of you probably quote this, and let me just say it like it. Some of you probably got it hung up on your wall somewhere in your house. It sounds good, amen. A lot of us can say it. And it's a good verse, amen. It's the Word of God, and we ought to love it, amen, and trust it. But can I say this tonight? Not only should we have it hanging on the wall, but we ought to put it in our heart. Oh, live this out. He says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
Listen, friend, when we get in awe of God, we'll realize, hey, man, he's really trustworthy.
Amen.
He really is trustworthy. There's nothing about him that I can't trust him with. Praise his holy name. Thank God, I'm telling you. If you just put all you are in the hands of the capable God that
Amen.
He is, you'll understand that he truly is trustworthy.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'll tell you just a second of our story. I'm going to get back to scriptures. Just a little bit of our story. We've been here 4 months over in North Carolina. Moved here from right below Knoxville, Tennessee. That's the only thing I've ever known. I'm a hillbilly from Tennessee. Go big arms. Amen. That's me. Amen. That's where I grew up. That's where my parents and my sister and her family is. That's where my wife grew up. That's where her parents, her brother and his family is. Everything we know lives in that little old town called Maryville, Tennessee. That's all we've ever known. That's it, man. Everybody we know, I can drive around Maryville, Tennessee, my eyes closed, know where I'm going, what's going on. About to tell you when traffic's going to be bad right through here. All that stuff. But I'm telling you, listen to me now. About a year ago, God stuck it in my heart. I was still pastoring the church over that 6 mile Baptist church. I was pastoring there, and God plugged it in my heart and said, you need to visit Wilkes County. I thought, where in the world is Wilkes County? I had no idea what a Wilkes was, but I went. And we went. We went on to Maple Springs. Amen. We got to hear the service with them and hooked up with Brother Curtis and his family. Amen. They just took us in and loved on us. Amen. And right then, I realized something. God's up to something.
Man,
I don't know what he's doing, but I know something is about to change.
Man.
So here's what took place. We come back over here. I took a little bit of time off from the church. I felt like it was what God asked me to do. I had the pulpit filled with men that I entrusted every weekend. You know where we was at? Maple Springs Baptist Church. We kept coming up here every weekend. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. And I'm telling you, we're sitting there eating. I'm telling you, God was feeding and eyes is wide. Bring it on, God. Just, well, I'm starving. I'm hungry. You give me what I need. Amen. And I felt it in my heart. God said, you need to become praying about what my will is for your family. I hooked up with my little bride, and I told her, I said, honey, I'm about to say something. Don't scare the socks off of me. I said, but I believe God's leading us to move to North Carolina. And I don't know why, and I don't know when, but we need to pray together and separately and let God lead our family. About the same time, here we are fasting and praying one with another. About the same time, God let it be known, this is what's to come to pass. It wasn't too awful long. I ended up resigning the church, and we didn't know nobody. We couldn't find. We started looking for a house, couldn't find a house where we needed it to be, and such. I'm trying to hurry on this, and I'm telling you, the moment we said, God, whatever you want to do, that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. Within 3 days, my wife got a job, amen, and we found a house. And I said, well, if I wasn't sore before, I'm sore now. This is where we're supposed to be. Can I tell you what, friend? In the last 4 months, I've seen God move in my life and in my family's life greater than I ever have before. I'm talking, God has blessed us, and you say what you want, but God's blessed us in financial ways, and God has blessed us. I sit in a church now, and I watch my wife and my children, Mark. I watch them free in the Lord. I watch them worship. A few weeks ago, my old boy, he was up on the platform singing with the youth choir, and God got a hold of him. He went out the door, took a lap around the church. We didn't ever even see him.
nobody do that. He didn't learn that from nobody. God got a hold of him. You know what David did? He turned in behind and he was on his trail.
Amen.
I see them lift their hands in church now. They can't get enough of it.
Mom,
you tell me, is God trustworthy?
Yes, he is.
Well, you better believe that he is. You better believe that he is. You better believe that God is trustworthy. We need to trust God with everything. Confident. Look at verse number 3 again. Look what he said. Confident. He says, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. We need to be confident that the Lord has heard us. And when we know God's heard us, that's all we need. That's all we need. To know that God has heard our prayer and our plea. Can I say this to you tonight? And I told Caleb that the lady was playing trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So I'm going to hit that just a minute. If the Lord allows it here in just a minute. You realize that trusting God quickly turns into obeying God? If you trust God with everything that's in you, you're going to quickly be obeying. So tonight I ask you, do you have confidence to trust Him? As you all. The Bible says that the Lord told Joshua, as Joshua come before the Lord, he said, Joshua, take your shoes off before you come before me. This is holy ground. And you realize that Joshua didn't say, well, that's silly, Lord. Well, why would you want me to do such a thing? Here's what I feel, Mark. Here's what God's put in my heart about that. If Joshua wasn't willing to take his shoes off, a little menial task, there was no way he's going to be obedient when God said, go walk around that city for 7 days. I'll give you the victory. You say tonight, you may be saying, Rich, I've got a big task in front of me that old God will take care of. Well, have you trusted Him with the little things in your life?
Oh, that's good, preacher.
Because if you ain't got your shoes off yet, don't expect, that's a good word. Don't expect your walls to come tumbling down.
Right.
We need to have confidence to trust Him. Give it all to Him. Give it all to Him. Offer a sacrifice. Here's what He said. Of righteousness. The sacrifices of righteousness. I heard a story. And as far as I know, it's just as true as it can be. A little fella. He hadn't been saved just a little bit at a time. He's a little guy. 6-7 years old maybe. And they were in church. And it come time for the offering. It come time for the offering, and he's standing there by his Bible there at the front pews, his Bible sitting there, and they're standing there together as they receive the offering that morning. And he's seen this take place many, many times, but now he's a saved little fellow. And he's watching these folks as they're receiving tithes and offerings, and his Bible reaches up in his coat pocket, pours out what he's got, and he puts it there in that plate, gives it to the little boy for him to pass along to the next one. The little boy. Plate. The little boy is just sitting there looking at that thing. He's sitting there holding it. He's sitting there holding it. There's some money in it. And he's figuring about it. Before long, he says, hey. The people's looking at him now. What's he doing? I ain't going to do this because I'm going to break the plate. Little fella, I'm going to fall out of it. Little fella stepped in there with both feet. Standing there at the plate. I said, what? Hey, what are you doing? And he said, uh-oh.
Mom.
I don't have nothing I can give.
That's good.
I ain't got nothing in my pockets. I didn't bring nothing with me. So I just figured I'd just give God me.
That's just amen.
Hey, there's some of us need to stop pulling the fives out of our pocket and putting it in an offering plate. And some of us need to just sit down and say, God, I've determined in my heart, you ain't interested in my money.
Amen.
If you ain't God who I am, amen, you don't want anything else.
Amen. That's good.
When you get in all of God, you'll jump in the offering plate.
That's good.
You'll get in there.
Come on, brother.
You'll give all that you are to the Master. When our all is right, we'll not struggle as much to put our trust in the Lord. That's what we see in verse number 5. Verse number 6. I got to move. Verse number 6. When we stand in awe,
Look what he says. There be many that say, who shall show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. When we stand in awe of God and it's right, we'll see his goodness. We'll see that he truly is good. The old saying is, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And we hear that and we say, amen. But is there really any heart in what we're saying? He really is good. And if we get our all right, we'll see him right for who he is. There'll be no question in our life that God truly is good. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Or is that trust in him again? We'll never taste his goodness until we're in awe. He says, taste and see. We'll never taste his goodness. The children of Israel, here they are out in the wilderness, and God's giving them food from heaven. That'll be good, amen? He's giving them manna from heaven. He's dumping it out on them. Amen, giving them meat in their need, blessing them, amen, for no good reason other than he's God. You know what they did? I don't want that no more. I don't want that no more. Oh, God help us right here. Be careful turning away what God gives you because there's somebody begging for it.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. There was once a day you would have been delighted to have what God's given you.
Oh, yeah.
But now,
come on.
I'd rather have something else. I'd rather have something else. But if you'll stand in awe of God, you'd say, good Lord, he's sending bread out of heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you believe what God's doing?
Amen.
How good God. We won't taste how good God is until we're standing in awe of him.
Right.
And we won't see his goodness until we're in awe of him. He says, taste and see. You remember when the spies were sent into Jericho? And we had 10 of them that come back and they said, man, alive, I'm telling you, them giants is over there. We're grasshoppers in our own sight. There's no way we can do this. Luke 7
and Joshua saying, pomegranates and the grapes. Did you see the goodness that flowed out of that land? You want to know why they saw a difference? They were in awe of the God that sent them in there.
Yes, sir.
They come back out saying, hey, God said we can have that. God said we can have it. I've always been amazed, Brother Mark, how the two people, when you talk to two people in the same church service, and they've got two different ideas of how church was.
Oh, yeah.
Blows my mind. You run into them and say, how was church this morning? You got one of them, glory to God. I'm telling you, God settled in with us. They got out of the banks. Amen. God preached the man of God. Amen. We was on the altar. Amen. The choir sounded beautiful for the day.
Wow.
I'm telling you, God was all over it. And then you ask somebody else, hey, you know how church is.
Come on.
You know, it's nothing really out of the ordinary, out of the norm. You know what the difference was? One's in awe of God and the other man.
You're right, man.
The other one's looking, let me just say that, the other one's looking for some entertainment or some show, amen, something to kind of pump them up like the world can, like a club. We'll just go out there and expect something, amen, something to jive with, something to come along. But you got one of them says, God, I need you better, and I need you plenty
of
help. I can't find you anywhere else, and I'm going to the house of God, and I'm looking for you, God.
Man.
You come looking for him, bless God, you just might find him. Blows my mind.
Man, it's all right. You got one of them, man, we's bouncing off the walls. We's down in the altar praying, and God was seeing us through some things.
Right.
You want to know why? Hey, listen to it. Look right here a minute. You want to know why you've walked out of here and you've never once said, man, God did some things. You can come here looking for anything.
Come on, brother.
You didn't put nothing in. And I tell you what you did. You put your hind end in a pew.
Come on.
And you expected that to be enough. But I'm telling you, if you're not going to invest in, amen, in this thing, you're not going to get anything out of it. I had to go over to the bank the other day, over to the ATM. I pulled up, stuck my card in there, amen. And when I asked for a withdrawal, you know what? I got it, bless God. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But you know why I did? Because I put something in there and I had something to take out of it. A lot of you coming in here spiritually, you got your little card, but you ain't stuck nothing in. You ain't plugged into the power. You ain't plugged into the direction of God.
think I'll just find, I don't know why I'm saying all this. I think I'll just find another church to go to. They ain't meeting my needs over there at Calvary. I don't like what's going on over there. It's not funny because 2 years ago it was the best church you ever seen in your life. But now something's changed. Something's different about it. And I tell you what's different. If you get your eyes off a man and get your eyes on God, you'll enjoy it again.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's not about, was the music good? Was the attendance good? Or even was the preaching good? But it's about, ain't God good? When our all is right, I'm moving along. When our all's right, we'll see it was God that was good when nothing else seemed good.
Amen. You walked in and I'm telling you the choir was flat. And everybody was tired. And the preacher laid down a bunt and got thrown out at first. I've been there.
Come on.
You won't walk out of there even focusing on none of that.
Come on.
You'll walk out of there saying, boy, God sure was good. God sure was good. We'll get her all right.
We'll see his goodness. Number four. I've just got five. I'm almost done. Y'all to thank God for that right there. Verse number seven. The Bible says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. What he's saying right there is, God, I've got the... Let me sing it like I used to. And I said, I've got the joy down in my heart.
Where? Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. To say.
Thank you for finishing that.
That's what he's saying right there.
You put gladness in my heart. You've infused me with joy in my heart, in my inner man. Amen. It wasn't the happenstance it was going around. He said, you've took gladness and you put it in there where nobody else could get. God, you put it down deep in my heart. When we stand in awe of God, we'll experience his joy in the fullest. We'll experience his joy in the fullest. In Matthew chapter number 2, now for time's sake, I'll move quickly. But in Matthew chapter number 2, the Bible tells us that Herod had called the wise men together. And he said, hey, there's a star over there in the east. And he said, I need you to go where that star is at. You go check it out, all right? You check it out, and then you come back and report it to me what's going on over there. And so what's the Bible say? It says these wise men headed out following the star, looking for it. In Matthew 2 and 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Let me tell you what's pretty awesome about that. What's pretty great about that. They were just in the presence of King Herod. I mean, that would be something for them to walk away and say, wow, you know where we just at? Right? Wow, you know what we just said? The king taught us. The king sent us out on a mission. He gave us a job to do. My, can't you just see it? Amen. It seems like their heads all swell up just a little bit. I was right in front of the king. And King Herod said, here's what I want you to do. I need you boys. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say when they walked out of the palace that they had joy in their heart.
Right.
They didn't say that they...
Look
what we get to do for King Herod. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that when they saw just the star, they hadn't seen the Savior yet. They just saw the illumination. They just saw the light up in the sky saying Messiah has come. And when they saw that star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
Amen.
They were in awe of the one they were going to look. See, now, first off, they were in the presence of earthly King Herod. But very soon, they were going to be in the presence of the King of Glory. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
When you're always right, When you're always right and my always right, we'll experience joy in its fullness. The Bible says it like this in Matthew 28:6-8. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Everybody ought to shout praise the Lord right there. Amen. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. When we stand in awe of our living Lord, it'll bring a joy in us that cannot be contained. That cannot be contained. I was watching this. I was watching this take place last night. I was over. Last night. Get that on. Last night, my boy plays for East Wilkes Middle, and they're heading to the Super Bowl next Saturday. And we're playing in the playoffs last night, and we had to sit through a couple of other teams playing, and I don't know who y'all cheer for over here. All I know is I'm supposed to cheer for red and white. That's all I know. But there was a game right before us, and I watched these people. I watched them. I'm all about ball game. I love football. I love it. I love football. It's a good thing. But I was watching this thing take place. And I believe it's Central, Wilkes Central. Does that sound right? Maybe Green Team. That's what Green Team. I was watching them play. And my name's out there and he's giving her all of that. And right down in front and to the right of us was a whole family of somebody, I guess, that was real important on that team. Every time they do something, I'd hear a mama, "Woo! Here's what I thought. I'm going somewhere there. Here's what I thought. I wonder if she ever shouted out that church. Again, I'm all about shouting at the ball game. I do. Amen. An old boy over there likes to fight. Well, you better believe this daddy jumped out. That's my boy, bitch. Now, I'm all about it. But I heard this woman, and I heard shouts like what? Just exactly the way she shouted. I heard that in the house of God. And I thought, I wonder if that little baby she's shouting for, I wonder if that little baby, that boy, has ever sat beside her and even heard her do that for the glory of God. And then I heard a daddy, just a couple of seats over from crazy woman mama or whatever. And I heard him say this, they're on defense. And I heard he stood up, cut up his hands, and he said, "Watch out for the pass!" Spiritually, that dad has come instead of his boy and said, "Son, I need you to watch out for some things. I need to warn you about some things. You're about to head down a road that's wrong. There's something coming your way, and son, I'm trying to tell you, you need to stay away from it." See, when we're standing in awe, we'll have the joy bubbling up in our heart, and it'll flow, overflow, and we'll start looking out one for another. Right? He said, "The gladness that you've put in my heart, oh, God, I'm experiencing your joy down to the fullest." We're in awe of him. It'll bring joy that we can't hold that back. I'm the more reserved. You wouldn't know this. I'm the more reserved of me and my wife. Right? Yeah. Yeah, daddy. My wife loses her mind. She's kind of like crazy lady for Central. But my children have also seen her get in the presence of God. Not just at church, but get overflowed by his presence at the house. And say, "Youngins, I want you to know God sure is good to us." It'll bring out a joy. We can't stick it in a box. I just got one more point. Let me say this. When you're in awe of God the way you ought to be, you can't stick it in a box and just bring it out on Sunday. Can I say this? God's too big to stick in a little box. I had a little girl tell me one time, I promise I'm moving to point five.
Preacher, I got a question. Yes, dear, what's your question? She said, so you're saying that God's real big, right? I said, hey, all right. And you say he has all of us in the span of his hand, right? Yes, ma'am, that's what the Bible teaches us. Everything's right in the span of his hand, right? I mean, right there, he's got it. And she said, so God lives in my heart. Okay, that's why we won't say that. We won't say that. She said, shouldn't he spill out somewhere? He sure should. You're right, darling. A God that big is going to spill out somewhere. When you're in all of him, I'm in all of him the way that we are, that joy will be in its fullest, and we can't help but to let others know just who it is we belong to.
Right. Amen. Amen. All right, last one, and we'll be done. Verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety.
Amen.
Praise his holy name for that. I tell you what blessed me. I don't know who it was. I think you may be right over here, but I'm not 100% sure. I tell you what blessed me. I'm sitting right over here, and the choirs are singing, and I kept seeing a little hand. Now, it was over this way, so I couldn't see a face, but I saw a little hand raising up. Right back here. Are you in the white? Who is it raising their hand? That you testified. You testified, right? And you had your hand up back here. Hey, I'm telling you what, friend. I'm telling you, when you get in awe of God, amen, you said I had carpal tunnel. You had problems with your hands. But now, look what you're doing. You lifted them for his glory. Amen. That's how awesome God is. God will take crippled hands and fix them to where you'll say, God, I so want to thank you.
Amen.
He'll give you peace of his presence. When you're in awe of him, we'll know the peace of his presence. The Bible says in Philippians 4:7 that it's a peace that passes all our understanding. How can we have peace when we're fighting hell by the acre, preacher? I mean, it's everywhere I turn around. I mean, it's just a battle. It's a trial. It's a storm. Everywhere I turn, how can I have peace?